Let's call the meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, PL 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied, and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board at Borough Hall, stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Would you all please rise and join me in saluting our flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I have a roll call, please?
Leva?
Here.
Stone?
Here.
McDonald?
Here.
Connery?
Here.
Higgins?
Here.
Thompson?
Yes.
First up, we have a proclamation. Since you're here, we'll bring you up. And this would be the time for pictures if you're so inclined.
No.
No. Well, come on, we're going to make a turn around and face the audience here while we do that. This is a proclamation of the Borough of Washington expressing congratulations to the Mount Pisgah African Methodist Episcopal Church on 140 years of service to the community. Whereas on October 12, 1874, dedicated men and women assembled to elect five trustees and formed the African Union Protestant Church of Washington. And whereas in time, the church moved from worshiping in a building on Church Street and Belvedere Avenue to North Lincoln Avenue, where the cornerstone was laid in 1877, and whereas while securing a new location, construction did not begin until 1880, and under the leadership of the Reverend Carlos Green, the church, consisting of a single room with belfry and conical steeple, was completed. And whereas the church has celebrated 100 years and 120 years of service, and now celebrates the 140th year of service to the community, now, therefore, be it proclaimed by the Mayor and Council of the Borough of Washington in the County of Warren, State of New Jersey, to extend to the Mount Pisgah African Methodist Episcopal Church congratulations on their 140-year anniversary, and be it further proclaimed that the governing body of the Borough of Washington wish the Mount Pisgah African Methodist Episcopal Church continued success in the future, presented on this 21st day of October, 2014. Okay, next up we have a council appearance. Chief, you're first.
Hey, I put some friends on
here. Friends are back up.
How about yes to both?
Yeah, both. One second. One of the main reasons for coming here tonight was to talk about some of the scams that have been going on in the area for some time. I just wanted to make the public aware of some of these things. We had a similar meeting a couple of weeks ago in the borough, in the township. Since that time, a new situation has come up that I have to be very cautious in how I talk about it, but I do want to mention it to the people here. Mind if I, like,
please
talk to them?
Yeah, right. If you want to take the mic and if you can do that, that's fine.
Can you hear me in the back? Okay. I got a big mouth. I know. Some of the scams that are going on right now, we have it's a long-running utility scam where you'll get a call from someone representing themselves as someone from the power company, the electric company, saying that you owe money on a bill and that if you don't pay it immediately, your service will be interrupted. And what they're asking you to do is pay that with what's called a green dot card. Is there anyone unfamiliar with that? It's actually a card that you prepay for, and it becomes like a credit card. Mm-hmm. But once you make the payment using that card, the money is deducted immediately from that card, and it's gone. Mm-hmm. And if I'm incorrect in any of this, detective, you speak up.
You're right on, Chief.
So if someone from the power company should call you, our recommendation is that, you know, take their number down, take some information, advise them that you will call back the power company. Power company will never ask you to make a payment using a Green Dot card under any circumstances. IRS scams. This actually happened to someone in the township. Someone will call representing themselves as an agent from the IRS. They'll advise you that you owe back taxes, same type of thing. They will tell you that you have to make an immediate payment. In this case, or the Washington Sheriff's Department would come and arrest you, which doesn't even exist. But some people, it scares them enough that they actually have made a payment to them. They've actually gone out and purchased a Green Dot card and actually made a payment. And once that money is gone, it's gone. Sometimes it even goes to another country. So it's almost impossible to trace. The IRS, as you know, I don't know if any of you ever received correspondence from them, but they do send a lot of it. Mm-hmm. If you owe them money, they will send you something by mail. They will not call you on the phone and make any kind of threats or anything like that. So if you think you owe taxes, the best bet would be to call the IRS. In fact, any time that you get anything, an email or anything like that from your bank, from the IRS, from any kind of utility company, it's best not to click on any links. Because what some of these scammers have done is they've created a page that looks exactly like the link of the utility company or, in some cases, the IRS. If you click on that, the page opens up and you think that you are actually on an official website. You're not. Best thing to do, go up, type in the URL address yourself. That way you know that you're assured you're going to get to the right place. Home safety tips. There have been a lot of, we call them car break-ins, but we really haven't had any vehicle break-ins. What they are is unlocked vehicles that people open the door and help themselves to whatever is in view. So lock your cars. I really don't recall, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't recall any instances where someone broke into a vehicle. We had a couple cases where, in talking to someone who finally got caught, they would confess to burglarizing cars in different areas, and we've had victims that didn't know they were victims. They've gone in the car, they took some loose change, things like that, that the people never even knew was missing. So lock your vehicles. Don't leave anything in the vehicle in view that's of any value. You know, if you do have to leave it in a car, put it under a seat, put it in a trunk. But above all, lock the vehicle. Small town USA, people for many years have felt comfortable leaving their doors unlocked, leaving their windows unlocked. Those days are gone. Those days are long gone. Lock your house. If you're going to be away, lock your house. Most burglaries occur during the daytime, and criminals are lazy, otherwise they'd have real jobs. So if you make it easy for them, they'll take advantage of you. We used to have a program where we'd ride around at night, and if we saw an open garage door, I would actually send a letter to the resident advising them of that. Because there's a lot of valuable things in your garage. There's also access to most houses from the garage. So lock your door. If someone knocks on your door, either representing to be from a utility company or something like that, most utility companies, they have to have an ID badge. If you're in doubt for any reason at all, call us. We'll come and verify who they are. Don't open your door for strangers. And I will give you, kind of sounds like what you heard in school years ago, right? One of the things some of you may have heard, there was an incident in Phillipsburg a few years ago. And again, I have to be very careful with this because this is a case where the justice system failed us. There was a case in Phillipsburg a few years ago where one of the tactics was to go to an elderly resident's home, knock on the door, ask for water. And it really didn't matter what the response was. The perpetrator pushed the victim into the residence where they sexually assaulted and then beat the resident, the elderly person. One almost was beat to death. That person, through a failure in the legal process and also the psychiatric care process, is no longer in a psychiatric hospital and will not face any criminal charges. Could he be among us? Yes. Can I tell you a name? No, I can't. You probably know. The article was in the paper, what year was that? because if you all decided to look it up, well, that's perfectly all right. But again, be very wary of someone knocking on your door. If you have any questions or any doubts at all, because we are trusting people, give us a call. That's why we're there. We'll come, we'll find out who they are, what they want. Chances are, if you don't open the door and reach for the phone, they're not going to be there by the time we get there. But, you know, the days of trusting people, unfortunately, you know, are long gone. You don't want to make yourself an easy target, an easy victim.
Can I interrupt you one second? I had a question from when you spoke about it at the township. In that case, like, because that's where you kind of get confused. Can we just call 911 because that's the number we know, or are we supposed to call?
The first number to call would be the non-emergency number. Now, if you did call the emergency number, we're coming.
Okay.
689-1111.
11, oh, okay.
41.
See, I didn't even know that number.
Yeah, that's
okay.
The non-emergency number.
All right.
But if you're in doubt, absolutely, dial 911.
Isn't it 2111?
It's
2111.
Or is it both, one for the 10? The 689-1111 number will directly reach the central dispatcher at the Warren County Communications Center, which dispatches all police cars for Washington Borough, Washington Township, and Oxford. Mm-hmm. But that's just an easier number for me. I'm too many kids running around, a little slow. 1111 I can remember a lot easier.
Right.
So that's the best one to call if it's not an emergency. But as the chief stated, don't take any chances. If you're not sure, dial 911.
Okay.
We're not going to yell at you. We'll respond as well and be happy to help you out anyway.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, I've covered most of the scams, and again, one of my main reasons for wanting to have this meeting sooner, you know, I was invited to speak in November, was the fact that we do have this person of interest in our midst, and I just want folks to be careful. So, you know, if you have any elderly relatives or anything like that was the target, pass this on to them. Let them know. Because the older you are, the more trusting you are, because they remember the old days. And the old days, like I said, are gone. It's not like it used to be, unfortunately. Any questions so far? Or comments? Or maybe? None?
Thank you for coming.
Do you have anything?
Well, just as far as the scams go, it seems that elderly people are oftentimes the victims. If something seems too good to be true, it usually is. So if somebody's calling and saying, hey, you want money, but you got to send money in first to get it, that's not how it works.
The other one, too, that's been going around for some time is where they call and claim to be a grandson or something like that, that they've been arrested, or
they're in a foreign country, right, and they're arrested, yeah, and they need $1,500 for a lawyer, or they're be thrown in jail, things like that. And they get a lot of the information off the internet. A lot of us,
yeah,
have more information about ourselves on the internet than we're aware of, and that's where they get a lot of the information. Some of the other scams, mm-hmm, like the chief had stated, also Craigslist and eBay. A lot of times, if you post something on Craigslist for sale, say a bed for $100, the next thing you know, someone's calling and, hey, I'm interested in the bed, I'll send you a check. The next thing you know, a check shows up for $800. Oh, it was my secretary's mistake. Just deposit that money in your account and give me a check back for $600. Keep an extra $100 for your trouble.
And that's
and
happened.
Send the money back. Then the
twice in
days later, the bank says this check's no good.
Right.
Things to that effect. Just like he said, be aware. If something sounds too good to be true, the old adage, it generally is.
Would it be okay, Ethel and I are on the Senior Advisory Committee, and it's very hard to actually reach the seniors. You know, I would have loved the seniors to have been here tonight, but it's hard to actually get in touch with them. If I sent that flyer to the Warren County Division of Aging and Disability Services, and maybe they, because they have a tremendous database of to mail to everyone in the county, all the seniors in the county, would that be okay?
And if they have any kind of gatherings, meetings like that, I'd be more than happy to go speak to them.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right, that'd be great, yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. So it's okay to share.
I just talked to the Oxford Young at Hearts Club not too long ago. And there were some people that were out at the Belvedere, what is it, the Chelsea or whatever out there, the retirement, and they were taking some of the stuff back to them. So, yeah, if you have a group that
okay,
would like to have a meeting, let us know.
All right, that'd be great. Thank
and
you.
I also believe Ms. Blanchard was kind enough to make sure this brochure was on the borough
website.
Unfortunately,
though, most seniors don't use computers. That's our problem. they don't get our email blast. They don't go on our website. So
yeah,
that's one. Okay.
There's extras that I'll leave here also if you want to take some for the neighbors or if you want to bring some to the group, by all means.
All right, thank you.
And we do the best we can to keep everyone informed. We have the Twitter account, our Facebook account. We have the department's website. We send press releases to the Express. Sometimes they make it, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're online, and if you don't have access to a computer, you're not going to see them. But I know that with this gentleman's help, we'll probably see more things in the paper, right? Just trying to put you on the spot. You've done it to me. But, I mean, the information's out there. And listen, if you have any questions or concerns, you know, give us a call. Yes?
Is the gentleman you were talking about, maybe gentleman's not the right word,
no.
Peabody, that did that, he under surveillance now?
Currently, yes. I mean, how long we can do that, unfortunately, you know, there are guidelines. We can't do it for too long, but yes, currently he is. Mm-hmm. And the other problem is, the way the system worked, he was never officially convicted of a crime. So it's not like we can say, hey, this is the guy's name and this is exactly where he lives. Have we talked to residents that are near him? Yeah, we actually did a door-to-door type thing and just gave them different safety tips, similar to the ones you heard tonight, just to give them an idea of what might be lurking out there.
So that means the person literally is in our midst if you were going, because you wouldn't be going door-to-door in Phillipsburg.
No.
Okay.
No. Right. That's, yes, he does live here.
In regards to the left there were breaking to the park, has there been any target neighborhoods that you've seen this occur? More so than other neighborhoods?
I know in the area of Hillcrest Avenue, the Washburn area, there were quite a few hit.
The borough, we had several on Park Avenue in the borough. It's not a particular area necessarily. It depends where the people are that day when they get the brilliant idea in their head to let's go within the door handle, for lack of a better way of putting it. And that was the most recent one for the borough residents, was the Park Ave portion of that. We were able to recover some of the property from some of the vehicles. There was a refrigerant scale that one gentleman had in his car, and I guess they saw it and said, I have no idea what I'm doing, just messing with someone's yard. We're in the process of looking through all the pawn shops and gold stores and things like that, and there are more gold stores than one would ever imagine. But, you know, through Pennsylvania, through New Jersey, all the places we check, and we've been in contact with the other departments, you know, the respective bureaus that monitor electronic items that are sold and stuff like that. We get lists from Best Buy every week of all things sold, GameStop, things like that. So we are definitely monitoring it, but it, like she said, it's difficult, unfortunately. They're in and out quite quickly. That if they go to Best Buy, if they trade it to their friend, or if they go down to whoever they pick up narcotics, a lot of times these people, unfortunately, have narcotic habits, and they might trade it directly for their narcotics, and then the chances of recovering in Patterson or something like that is quite difficult.
Yeah, the best way to battle this type of crime is, you know, prevent it from happening by locking your doors, because it's so simple. You know, they're walking by, they open the door, they're in and out, like the detective said, in seconds, you know.
I'm 17 years now, 13 in the borough, and then the next four, once we were fortunate enough to merge, I spent as either a patrol officer or a detective to over 1,000 car burglaries, and I can count on one hand, and not even have to use all my fingers, the amount that those actors will force their way into a vehicle. It's just, they don't want to make the noise, there's a bigger chance of getting caught. They want in and out quickly, and they're grabbing change or whatever else. Yeah, ma'am.
You spoke about the borough, but what about the township?
The township, the Hillcrest area, was the one that was most recently hit.
That's the biggest township?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. That's just about a street over. It's very close on the border.
Okay.
And there was also a couple cars, one in Glen Eagles over by the high school.
Mm-hmm.
We did arrest the individual responsible for that, but we could not, unfortunately, link him to any of the other burglaries. Yes, ma'am.
And as far as the drug activity in the borough, very serious problem. I think our narcotics, we have an officer assigned a narcotics unit. I think this year alone, I don't want to give you an incorrect quote, but I think there are in excess of 30 arrests of dealers, not people simply smoking pot. I mean, actual dealers. And one of the problems is, as you take one away, another one takes its place, because it's a very profitable business. So any information that you might have on that, you know, give us a call. You can remain anonymous. You give us a tip, we follow up on it. I get several emails. excuse me. I get several emails where someone will just report something. I don't even try to, unless they want me to contact them, I don't do that. But I do report that immediately to the narcotics unit so they can look into it. So you can do that.
Can I just follow through the quick text?
I'm sorry?
The Quick Check.
We've had several...
A lot of accidents.
We've had several arrests, in fact, right across the street. Wasn't that long ago, we had a raid, and he was one of the main suppliers down there. But like I said, one of the problems we're looking into now is the county buses. It's a perfect way to transport drugs from Phillipsburg all the way to Hackettstown. You don't have to worry about the cops pulling you over.
Right.
You get off, you do your business, you hop back on the bus, you throw a dollar in the bucket, and you're good to go. So there's a lot of different things that we're looking into. The narcotics unit is not that big, but they're working very hard. And one of the things that benefits us is by having someone attached to it, they focus more on this area. So they've been doing a great job, but, you know, we can use all the help we can get. And
there's a lot it's a lot of Pennsylvania cars.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I'm from the city, so
yeah. Well, that's where it's coming from.
You know the signs.
I know the signs when I see it, so that's why.
But again, if you know the old saying, if you see something, say something, you know, let us know. A lot of people are hesitant, and, you know, I got this from the last meeting, the one you attended. A lot of people think, well, either one, I don't want to bother the cops, or this is trivial.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, we get paid, we're on 12-hour shifts. We get paid for 12 hours. Mm-hmm. You're not bothering anybody. That's what we get paid for. So it doesn't matter what the issue is.
Mm-hmm.
Call.
Please, I can't stress that enough. One of the car burglars we experienced in town, I heard 4 days later from another person whose son works for someone that the mother came out and saw someone physically in their car.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't call.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens. And then we had another nice lady I spoke with earlier today, reference to a burglary to a house. It wasn't secure. A person had came through the basement, we suspect, spoke with her, and when we questioned her why it took so long for her to give us a call, well, when I noticed that, I didn't think you guys were still working until we passed 7 p.m.
Mm.
You know, we're here, she said, very nicely, but we're here 24 hours a day. Please call us.
No.
If you hear a boom in the night, a bang, call us. If it's a raccoon, we'll kick it in the behind and send it on its way. If it's not a raccoon,
if it's a skunk, you can kick it yourself.
Yeah, we're not kicking skunks.
I did. I called that the other week when it was a boom. Remember?
Yeah, no, by all means, we're happy to come out and check those things out. If you see someone in your neighborhood, you people know who your neighbors are, who's in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
If there's something suspicious, by all means, give us a call. If it's a new neighbor, we'll help you greet them.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not a new neighbor, again, we'll take appropriate action
mm-hmm.
and record your information.
And that's a good point. You're going to notice something suspicious in your
mm-hmm.
neighborhood a lot quicker than we would.
Mm-hmm.
So if it doesn't seem right, give us a call. Do you have a question?
Yes. I was wondering, Jim, if you guys could do something, listen, I'm late to this meeting, this was something that you're talking about. I guess they helped you with neighbors. And two of your gentlemen are there right now because there was somebody at my neighbor's, elderly neighbor, trying to get her to sign over to a third-party bill for BPU. Or I know this so-called scam well because we haven't investigated in our office, in the state senate office. It's not illegal to do third-party billing. The problem with it, and this needs to get out to the seniors, is that the way they do their billing and their contract, they don't give them an actual contract as we can do this for 9 months or 12 months and keep your bill lower than JCPenney.
Mm-hmm.
There's not anyone out there, but most seniors are targeted, that doesn't want to lower their debt.
Right.
As soon as they hear that they sign up, and we had a case where when they tried to get out of the contract, that company billed them for 1 month, $1,200.
Yeah.
So it's a real problem getting out of these contracts. They don't give them paper contracts, and then there's that fine line of, you know, that fine print that you don't really know about.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that really needs to be out there. And fortunately, like you just said, I noticed there was somebody at a house that shouldn't have been there, and, you know, so I went over there and sort of rescued her from...
And that was a female, right, that was going around?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I asked her for information. I said, give me your business card, give me some information, give me a pamphlet, you know, we'll check this out and get back to you. I said, do you have a business card? Do you have any information? No.
Mm-hmm.
And then left. I went to his house.
I have a
question.
Sure.
You know, how about like notifications when they're working on the roads in the town? Are the residents being notified of this? And
I know that Detective Koch, whenever we're going to have a road closure or something like that, I know, and again, it goes back to, if you don't have a computer, you're not going to get it. And I don't even know if the Express will print things like that unless it's going to be a long-term thing. Maybe you can answer that.
Typically, the utility company will also go around and leave a flyer on your door, like New Jersey American was.
Just saying that there's utility scams, you know, are these residents being notified, and they're, you know, are there people listed, like, who should be approaching this in case that, you know, the water company...
Well, like I said, all of your utility companies, their agents, for want of a better word, have an ID badge. It's got a number on it and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So you could actually, you know, just hold on a second, shut the door, call the utility company and ask. You know, so-and-so is supposed to be at my house. Give them the name, things like that. So they're required to have an ID badge on them. If they don't, you don't let them in. Mm-hmm. You know, give us a call.
I'm going to get to two questions that were brought to me. All right. How is information disseminated in the neighborhood when there is a break-in to the neighbors? I mean, that was a question that was brought to me. If somebody's home was burglarized, or, you know, they attempt to get in or whatever, there's an attempt, how do the neighbors know about that other than the party telling them, hey, somebody broke into my house? Do you guys have any way of...
Generally, the officers will do the canvas on the area, and they'll knock on the immediate neighbor's doors in the area to see if anybody sees anything suspicious and stuff like that. But I understand where you're coming from, Mr. Higgins. That's generally 3 or 4 house radius.
Yeah.
I think you're questioning, is there a way to get that information out there
right.
to more people, to make more people aware? And I don't see that being an issue. We can do that. The best ways for us to do it and the quickest ways would be on our Facebook.
Social media again. Mm-hmm. Which,
and also, we have a Nextdoor account as well. If you have a cell phone, you can receive texts. I mean, if you have a unlimited text plan, as most people do, then it won't cost you anything. But you can receive texts through our Nextdoor site.
How do you sign up for that?
That's under, I don't have the stuff with me right now. Let me take a quick look. Do you have something there? Lieutenant's going to check. Mm-hmm. All the links that we send out in our press releases have the Nixle account at the bottom of the
line. Yeah, if you just scroll down to the bottom of that press release, I send you.
Oh, okay.
It's on there.
If you go to Nixle.com initially.
Nixle? N-I-X?
N-I-X-L-E, .com, www.nixle.com. And then they'll have a tab on there where you can choose your police department. And you can pick the Washington Township Police Department. The patch that's on Lieutenant Kaufman's and it's on our car, on his shoulder. That's how you know it's the correct Washington Township and not one of the other 6 in New Jersey. And they'll give you directions. There's a certain number. I apologize for not knowing the number. You can text directly to that number, and that will automatically sign you up for that. And when we put up our posts on Facebook and Twitter, we have it linked up to where it goes out on Mixel as well. All of our press releases go out on Mixel, the same ones that go out on Facebook. I know there's been questions in the past as well for the press release on Facebook. We don't put the names of people out on Facebook. We do provide the newspaper with the names of the people. And the reason that we don't do that on our Facebook site is it's more for sharing the information and getting the information out to the public. And we are one of the few police departments that allow comments on our Facebook page. It can be interesting at times. But we want that interaction with the community and be able to hear from them. So if they're making viable points or something we need addressed, we can take action on that. When we put the names in we found in the past, we get to always dismiss again. That's no surprise. Things like that, which is defeating the purpose of our page. It's not to disparage people whatsoever. It's to get the information out there.
And generally speaking, when we put the name or when we arrest someone, they are innocent until proven guilty. And you know how quickly the court of public opinion can convict someone.
Mm-hmm.
So even if they were later found to not be guilty of the charge, they're guilty as far as the public concern, and so we'd rather avoid that. The newspapers don't care. I'm just pushing the cops tonight. That's I apologize.
Hey, it's your first time here.
Is it really? Is it your first time here?
Yep.
It's your first time I'm there.
And he won't be back next week. This is typical of these meetings.
All right, and the second one goes back to patrol. You know, I've heard, I've gotten phone calls, you know, once the police department coming through my neighborhood and all of this other stuff. I don't have that problem because you guys are always in my neighborhood. I don't know why.
Bad neighborhood.
No, but I mean, can you address that, please?
I can tell you this, and this is just, because I thought that question was wrong. This is just last month's statistics. 62% of our investigations were in the borough. 68% of our arrests were in the borough. 68% of our motor vehicle summonses were in the borough. We're here. Trust me, we're here.
Listen.
There are certain neighborhoods that you might sit there all day and you might not see a patrol car go by your house. One of the things we encourage is that time provided, depending on the call volume, that an officer during the course of his patrol hit every street in the borough. You know, and does that always happen? No, it doesn't, because again, call volume. But that's not to say that somebody doesn't come by at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, we do patrol. You know, and a lot of people say that, you know, we had all these car burglaries on our street because the cops are not there. Let me tell you, if I'm ready to go into a car and I see a car come around the corner, I'm going to duck down behind a bush, I'm going to duck down behind a car. We're not going to catch people that way. Random patrol gets random results. Do we target areas where we're having problems? Yes. So if you don't see a lot of activity in your neighborhood, I don't know why your neighborhood's so bad. We'll check with them when we leave. If you don't see a lot of activity in your neighborhood, oh, it's because of him. You know, there's a chance that we don't have a lot of activity in that area. But we do try to hit every area as much, you know, during the course of the shift. And that's another thing. Chief at WTPD.net is my email. If you have any questions, oh, which paper are you from?
No paper.
Oh, I thought that said press. Oh, it does.
Radio.
Oh, radio. Oh, all right. But I haven't attacked you.
Unfortunately.
But if you ever have any questions, or come and knock on the door. I mean, if you have any questions in reference to, like you just had, come see me. Ask me. You know, it's open door policy. You pay me. So it's not like you have to make an appointment. So anytime you have any questions, concerns, either email me or stop by and see me. I don't have an issue with that at all. Anything else?
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Dawson, you're next. Dawson Bloom from Finelli Engineering.
I'll try to be brief.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
We'll leave those wires here.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
You want to...
Want me to start, or?
I'm not sure what.
Okay, well, I did give you a brief summary in my manager's report regarding an ongoing issue at the middle school area regarding flooding. After the middle school had done some paving back in 2009 and 2010. For the technical details, I'll let Dawson speak. This is kind of coming to a head, and so we decided that we needed to bring it to your attention at this point.
So, as Christine indicated, I won't necessarily use flooding because I think everybody gets the idea that flooding is a large... this is an isolated issue. One or two residential properties, their garages, which abut the rear of Warren Hills Middle School, the alley that comes off of North Lincoln Avenue, that entrance and the alleyway, which runs directly behind in the garage, is that's borough property. There's no demarcation. It then becomes the parking lot to the middle school. Directly on the other side, there are a series of garages for the properties along North Carlton. And one property in particular has experienced a number of flood issues into their garage from runoff from the middle school. The middle school hired Suburban consulting engineers to try to come up with a fix for the flooding issue. As Christine indicated, about 5-6 years ago, the parking lot and also that alleyway was paved by the middle school. There aren't any plans. There weren't any plans to review. I think this was done more of an ad hoc repaving project. My understanding is that alleyway prior was more of a gravel driveway. It wasn't an official repaved surface. It wasn't. So when they came and actually repaved, I think what happened was they ended up grading it in a way that caused this flooding issue, which I understand did not exist prior to the paving. We got involved about a year ago, met out at the site with the middle Patrick Murphy and their consultant at the site. They were looking for some assistance from the borough in facilitating the repairs that they would like to make to try to alleviate this flooding condition. And what they're proposing is they want to regrade approximately 50 to 75 feet of the alley as it comes in off of North Lincoln into the parking area for the middle school. And it would be a full-depth reconstruction of the pavement and repaving. They paid the consultant to develop some plans for this, and they also went out and got a few bids from contractors to price it out. They priced it out. They got prices. Their lowest price was $20,000. So right now, what they had proposed about a year ago was that the cost be split between the middle school or the school district and the borough. We, myself and Christine, and I looked at it, I do not feel that the borough really has any liability towards this issue. This was an issue or a paving project that was undertaken by the school district. Granted, there was some work done on borough property, which was allowed through the previous borough manager, but I do not believe at the time, at least I haven't been able to get any confirmation. There was no borough involvement in the project. There were no plans done, and there was no money paid by the borough to facilitate this paving. So all the work was done by the school district. And as such, the runoff is a situation created by the runoff from the school district predominantly, and it's a grading issue that was caused by this paving issue. So we're here tonight to really discuss it because the school district has now come back several times because the resident is growing increasingly unhappy by, I believe this is a four-year issue. This has been sitting out there, I think, from the emails that I've gotten, correspondence I've seen between the resident and the school district, and they're really looking for some relief. And the last I understood, it was they've probably been flooded about a half dozen times, according to the resident. And it's really the garage, and they're certain valuable, and I know the resident does, but it's a three-bay garage, so it's a large garage area. And we've seen photos of some of the water that's accumulated into the garage. But really, long story short, the school district is now pressing the issue in terms of wanting to do the fix. I've reviewed the plans. I said my last response to the district was, you can do the fix. I don't see any reason why you wouldn't want to. There concern was, well, the fix is on borough property. I said, we'll certainly give you access to that property to facilitate the fix so that you can alleviate this problem you're causing with the private residents. And it really boiled down to, well, we also want some compensation and assistance to facilitate this.
Was there any agreement signed, any paper of allowing them to do that?
No, I believe this was all word of mouth.
Handshake?
Correct.
Was that parking lot redesigned, or was it just milled?
It used to be like this.
Blacktop.
Again, I can't say it was redesigned because there are no plans.
Mm-hmm.
If it was done, it was done when it was paved, just in the field. They paved it however they determined it to be paved, whether there was somebody there providing direction or it was just done by eye. I really honestly couldn't tell you. We've asked for plans a few times, haven't been able to be produced. So I'm at a loss to be able to see what was there before and what's there now and what really caused this issue, because there's nothing on record to really describe what was done.
Thank you. Counselor, question for you.
Sure.
They did work on our property without our permission. They're causing property damage to a borough resident. What recourse do we have as a municipality to force them to fix it?
Do we know for sure that the work was performed without plans, without the authority by the... I believe that I thought you said...
My understanding is, and again, I don't have any... There's no written communication. This transpired before myself and Christine were in these positions, but my understanding was there was an agreement with the previous borough manager and the school facilities director to do this, you know, because the buses use that property as access to get out to North Lincoln to do it. So I'm not sure if there was any written authorization or not.
What for the manager?
That was Rich.
Yeah,
Rich Fail.
What, Rich Fail?
Okay.
Because I remember the discussions about it.
Okay.
You know, we did discuss it.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
That,
I do remember it being discussed in council. I believe I asked the question about the agreement because I believe that nothing was signed, that it was just, yeah, if you want to, go ahead.
And that's what I haven't been able to find anything on
not
paper.
Sure. No, I have nothing either.
Yeah.
So
that's not even in the minutes?
I was going to say, if it was discussed in council, it should be in the minutes, right? It should be.
I don't even have a recollection of that conversation ever happening.
I don't either.
To be quite honest. So, I mean, that's news to me. So
what, about what time was this done? Like you said, 4 years ago?
No, I believe it was six years ago.
It would be 2009.
Yeah, 2008, 2009. Somewhere in that
910 area.
Yeah.
Because that road did have a little elevation to it.
That's what I understand. I've been out with John Byrd. We've walked, you know, he's very familiar. So, you know, he confirmed for me that the problem did not exist previously to this work being done. That's about the only historical information I have.
Well, I think before I can discuss what sort of recourse the borough would have with respect to the trespass, for lack of another word, you've got to have, I think you've got to go back and look at your minutes and see whether there were any discussions whatsoever on the record. No documentation from Rich? And there are no plans that were...
No, we've requested plans from the school district on several occasions. They've indicated they don't have any.
And obviously no signed agreement. So without knowing the history, I can't give you a good answer as to whether there's recourse. Obviously, if there's an agreement that the work could be done, you don't have recourse. But going forward, I think that I agree with you. You don't want to get yourself into a situation where you're spending time and expense on something that you didn't create, because you are going to be subject to liability if the fix doesn't fix the problem. It's going to be a situation where under the New Jersey Tort Claims Act, you're going to have liability for maintaining and controlling the area. It doesn't mean you can't be sued anyway by this landowner's borough property, so you might be going to a suit by virtue of the fact that there's a problem on the property anyhow, but I don't see that you're going to be in any less trouble if you start to do work there and pay money toward fixing it. I think that your plan probably makes sense.
Okay, so can we do some research to find out if it was discussed, if permission was given, and then get back with a plan as to what we're going to do?
Can we, yeah, table it for a couple of weeks until the next meeting and give you a chance?
Or do they want an answer tonight?
Well, they'd like an answer right away, but
Well, that's not
no, I mean,
the answer is no.
Right. Right. They, we felt like we shouldn't right. even be having this.
They indicated anyway. They indicated that they wanted to facilitate this improvement over the break during teachers' convention
right.
because the school is closed.
What?
And they wanted to get some closure on this. That was, I think, the last communication
yeah,
we've had.
Oh, so it's back in a couple weeks to have it done.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's the, what they're proposing to do is not a long term. It's a couple days worth of work, probably.
Would you have to go back and rip that up and?
They're going to tear out the roadway section for about 50 feet and put it back and rebuild it. So it's a couple days tops. It's really not. They could do it over the break in a weekend if they really had to. I don't see it as being an issue time wise. It's just they're unwilling or hesitant to do it until there's some resolution on the
possible. You actually they went from the parking lot to the end of the road six.
They would like to go from the driveway entrance from North Lincoln
right.
into the end of the driveway, basically where it opens up just before the first inlet. There's an inlet there. So they're going to rebuild that entire section. And so what they'd like to do is, because there's a high point in that alleyway that gets out to there, they want to basically remove that so that the water can bypass and get out to the public roadway and into the public system.
Yeah, but there's two catch bases to start with on the property anyway, right?
Right, and what's happening is the runoff, as best as I can tell, is missing those basins. And that was some of the questions I had for the school district were, what is the cause of the problem? Can you tell me what the cause is? Is it too much runoff? Can the basins not handle the amount of water coming into them? Is the system overloaded at the time so that the water can't get in there? What's causing the problem so we know if the fix will work? I didn't get a lot of, I got some gray answers, I would call them, as to those questions.
So you're not convinced that even if they go ahead and do the repairs that they suggest to do,
I think they would help. I don't know if they would
help.
I don't know if they would
alleviate
the condition completely. But again, as the representative of the borough, until we got direction from council, we didn't want to get into. I didn't want to become the designer for the school district's issue. I have my own opinions on this, but we're trying to stay separated a little bit from this issue because, personally, I don't believe we have a liability or a responsibility
mm-hmm.
to deal with this issue. They hired a consultant. This is what their consultant wanted to do. I don't think it causes any problems for the borough. I don't think it creates any problems on our end. I don't know if it entirely resolves the problem on their end.
I think you got to get a hold of the prior communications. What I'm concerned about is that if there's something in the minute that there's an agreement that this was some kind of a joint project or this
right.
was, you know, or the borough authorized this in some way, you could be looking at liability in essence because it's borough property and there could
there's
be
no legal document, no shared service agreement, there's nothing.
It doesn't matter if the minutes indicate that there was an agreement or there was authorization for them to proceed with it. Yeah, I mean
yeah.
as long as there's proof that there was something, yeah, there could be a potential problem. So. To the extent, I understand that, I agree with you with respect to your opinion on the money issue, not wanting to pay the money, but it might, depending on what the information says, it might make sense to oversee this and make sure that whatever's done is done appropriately and in a way that you feel is going to alleviate the problem.
And
depending on what those, you know...
Right, if we can get some direction in terms of, again, responsibility and what was agreed to previously, if it was,
mm-hmm.
if it's on record at all... At that point, I think then we would look into becoming more involved to really have our opinion as to what the most appropriate solution would be.
Mm-hmm.
But until we know that, I think we've really been trying to stay out of it as much as possible.
And Louis, I'd like to make a motion that we table this issue until the minutes can be checked and see if there was any involvement or communication
with the borough and the school district until the next meeting.
Could someone reach out to the previous manager?
Sure.
Can we do this? I think that would be smart.
Rich, you had something you wanted to say? Same thing? Okay. Any other discussion on that?
I think I did reach out to him, but I'll check my email.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Do they let the school know what's going on? Or?
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, they like to communicate daily.
Okay. Sorry.
That's okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dawson. Thank you. Any approval from the DOT yet on North Lincoln?
Plans are in. Just a quick update. I won't take any more of your time. Plans have been submitted. I've been communicating with Cheryl at the DOT. She had some questions. We answered those questions. We will be doing the paving and resurfacing through the co-op. There are two handicap ADA ramps that need to be reconstructed at the library driveway as part of the project. They will be done by a separate contractor ahead of the paving. That work will be done next week. I was out this week with John Bird, with the contractor, to review it. I'll be sending him something towards the end of the week to give him some guidance, and we'll schedule that. It's a day's worth of work. All of the resurfacing, the milling and the paving, I've been told by the contractor, will be done in one day. So the entire roadway will be milled and paved in one day.
Do we know what day that is?
We haven't set that day. It will probably be the first or second week of November, based on the contractor's availability.
So you're replacing the handicap at the
There's two handicap ramps that aren't they don't meet the current ADA standards.
Are they going to the sidewalk?
One is tied into the sidewalk that's adjacent to the library.
Okay.
The other basically ends in a small patch of sidewalk on the other side of the driveway, but
okay.
It doesn't continue on.
Right, it's dead like a dead.
Right, and we stopped the resurfacing just above North Carlton, and we did not take it through the intersection. Otherwise, we would have ended up reconstructing every one of those curb ramps on the intersection. And it would have far exceeded the funding that was available.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Dawson, could you address the concern of milling and paving the same day, correct? Is that what I understand?
Our whole, all of our faces just did that. Okay. Because when the rest of that Lincoln was done, it took more than one day.
I was told by the contractor they could get it all done in one day.
Can you provide?
Good. Sure.
I think as a resident of Lincoln Avenue, as trustee of not for State Church, I live in the township, so I'm not mm-hmm. living in the borough.
Sure.
But it is true that the lower half of Lincoln Avenue took more than just one day. So mm-hmm. when you tell us that you're taking it's going to take one day, this is the communication that you're getting, that you're providing to us, then that allows me to think that this job that they're doing can be a great job if they're rushing through. So how?
That's not necessarily. It's a straight roadway. There are, as far as roadways are concerned, it's fairly straight. There's no curves.
If I could interrupt, sorry. When we did our four roads that we just done, one of them being Ms. Conrad's over there, is that they did the milling, they milled all four roads in one day.
Mm-hmm.
They came back the next day and paved all four of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's 2 days.
They milled four roads
okay.
in one day. They did all the milling in one day and came back the next day and did all the paving. It's such a short distance that they can mill and pave the same day. They don't have to move the miller from one part of town to the other,
okay.
or the paving equipment from one town.
And when I say one day, you know, it could be a 10 or 12 hour day.
Right, right.
So they would much rather do it in one day. It's more productive for them, or, you know, profitable not to have to leave to come back for another day. So it may be a 12 hour day. But they would much rather spend a 12-hour day than break it up. And really, some contractors would do it in 2 days.
Okay. And I appreciate your explanation on
sure.
that. And I think the reason why you hear this angst in our voice is because we've been dealing with this project for like 13, 14, 15 years. Mm-hmm. So when you tell us you can do it in one day, that's amazing to us. I mean, it's truly amazing to us.
The process of paving is fairly straightforward. The process of obtaining funding for it is not. So that's a different story. I'm strictly talking about the construction. Paving, milling and paving is a pretty straightforward process. So they can, you know, I would much rather get them in and out in a day if it's a long day than disrupt the neighborhood for more than a single day.
Absolutely.
Especially with the school there and the church and all of that.
I have a question about the permit process. Why aren't we getting curbs at least? People park there when we have back to school nights or, you know, not
at July.
Yeah, the holidays, the big, you know, the high school football games, but mm-hmm. we still have the little league and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the people that come to our neighborhood, they park on our property. They back up the cars on our property. I mean, it's like I just want to follow these people home and do the same thing to this place.
I'll address that if I could. Mm-hmm. That's separate and apart from the room, the sidewalks and curb.
Mm-hmm.
We do have information for safer. What's it called? Safer ways
safer
to school?
Safer school.
We do have that. We talked about that at the last meeting. That that's something that we're looking at to put curbs and sidewalks.
Yeah, but what's this going to be 14 years?
Well, you know,
because we addressed this before.
Yeah.
I mean, even if we got a curb, it's something just to keep the cars off.
I understand exactly what you're talking about.
And then I have another concern about the safety as well, too, because, you know, once they come through with that access road from the power company, those cars are floored down that street, that stretch. And there's kids out there. And, I mean, one day, I thought they were flying up the road, and they just missed kids. I mean, the whole neighborhood was in a panic. And, I mean, just like seconds later, there would have been a bad situation. So, you know, with this project going on, are they going to do something like, you know, speed bumps or something to, you know?
No.
Okay.
You missed your opportunity when the chief is here.
That'll be a liability.
You missed your opportunity when the chief of police was here, you know, something like that.
No.
As far as monitoring the area, as far as people speeding and racing them down, so you can address maybe.
Listen, if you guys had ever driven through Hampton, when they initially put their speed bumps in, you know, they put them in and then they took them out. There was a reason why the mayor of Hampton said, I want these speed bumps in. Well, they put them in and then come to find out that the way that they were put in were wrong. They just laid blacktop.
Yeah, there's certain ways you have to do them. They've gone in and out of favor. There's other ways. If you've seen now, they have typically what they'll do is instead of doing raised speed bumps, especially on a long street like that, they'll do the rumble strips,
mm-hmm.
the painted rumble strips. There's other ways that you can do it visually with, you know, the way you lay these things out sometimes to deal with them. But really, you know, and again, these are all valid concerns. The scope of the funding for this project was strictly limited to milling and resurfacing and addressing those two handicap ramps. And not to say that none of these are valid concerns. We only could address those two things with the funding that was available. Otherwise, you know, it's do you wait for a much larger project that may never become feasible, or do you address the things that you can address with the money that they're looking to provide?
How about, you know, when they do the roads?
Could they put some extra, like, blacktop alongside the side of the roof for all the curving or stuff?
Because we have the zoning ordinance has very specific. It has to be white concrete curbing. It can't be black paved top. It has to.
Something that, you know, with the, at least keep them off our property.
But they like the blacktop curbing. One good winter, like what we just had, the plows
will
scrape.
The plows will tear that up. You won't even make it through a winter with that.
Could we do a yellow line along the sides of the roads?
We could certainly come in and stripe.
It won't stop them from going over,
it's
but
not
it gives
stripe
them a visual.
There's some issues that we can address. Unfortunately, you know, the curbs would be of such a cost that they would, you know.
The painting of a line might give them that visual.
Certainly look into it. I think the way to do this is, let's get it paved, let's get it milled and paved, let's get it cleared out of the DOT. We can certainly address the striping, you know, once that's done and we see what we have there. I think that's certainly a viable solution.
What about signing, like, when the children at play or something like that? Could they at least focus up in there?
Sure, you can put some off play signs.
There was one up there, but that really didn't, I mean, it was there.
That's not going to give you the solution that you're really looking for. Honestly, you know, I'll be quite honest, it'll, you know, it makes you feel a little better, but it's not going to stop somebody from doing what they're doing down the street like that.
And what about the sign, the stop sign at New Street, at the end, Citizen with Lincoln? Mm-hmm. They just blew that sign off.
I watch people run red lights every day.
That's an enforcement issue, unfortunately, more so than a design issue. Mm-hmm.
And spray stop there before the stop sign?
You can. Again, it's, you know, the reality is, you know, that's more of an enforcement thing. If, you know, if people know there's not anybody around, they're just going to roll through it. That's typically what happens.
School buses go through all the time.
Because I live right here at the corner, and I've always seen this, like.
Yeah, I mean, again, we're very limited in the scope of the work that we can do under this grant, and we'd like, you know, we'll do this, and then again, see where we are afterwards.
Other communities have had successful campaigns where everybody sits out in front of their house and hold up signs, slow down, kids at play, yell at the people, you know, don't walk out in front of them, but eventually, you know, they all get tired of being harassed. Now you will get them some obscene gestures, I'm sure, during the course of doing that, but they eventually will get tired of you harassing them.
Mr. Mayor, we did that.
Yeah.
And you know what we got for?
I can imagine.
It wasn't pretty.
Yeah.
It wasn't pretty. So we tried that, and it wasn't pretty at all. Matter of fact, they came back and the breakup they really did and called us together again. So, you know, you tried. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I know it's been successful other places.
To find ways to work around it because it's a bad situation, you know, the difference. Because they do see through there, and I think they think it's the way they've taken it away with it. So they have gotten rid of it for so many years. But we have tried those, you know, ideas that you guys are putting forth. We just need to come up with a better way to try to resolve it.
These people that speed through there, did they go through the, that right away? Did they go through the right away on the power company? Is that what they're doing, or they just walk and turn around and then
turn?
No,
they go
straight
through.
Actually, one woman, you know, we were informed that we should take the license plate, make a mile of car. We've done that. We've called in. She's now at the point where she thinks it's better, and she waves as she comes through.
Yeah.
Why don't you ask the ACP not to close the right away?
They won't. We've just had this conversation. Yep. And it's private property. Yeah, I don't know about Flower Avenue. I know where you're coming from. People lied. I can't even have my kids play in the front yard. But the bottom line is speed bumps are going to make it worse. Because it's going to be louder than anything when people go 100 miles over those. They'll get destroyed the first time that they plow, and then it'll be one of these decisions we regret making. Putting up a sign that shows you how fast you're going, nobody cares about that.
Mm-hmm.
Councilman said you missed your opportunity. You need heavier police presence. Or the only other idea that I can think of is subbing up the companies that put these cameras up that take the photos of the place. And this might be somewhere where the borough can make money and the company that
installed
it. I've seen it happen. They do it in Newark. Why can't we do it here?
Right.
You know?
Okay, so they're going to pave your road.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to mill it, and they're going to pave it
in one day.
In one day. That's what we're shooting for. At the very, very least, it'll take 2 weeks. I mean, at the very most.
Well, we're scheduled right now for the middle of November.
I meant to be sarcastic.
I know.
I have a question about where we're going to park in this day.
They will come.
We can walk here.
And walk home.
Over my driveway, go further.
Well, no. What will typically happen is the contractor or we will come out ahead of time, let all of the residents know exactly what day this is going to occur. We'll give you, we'll try to give you a week's notice. Once the milling is done. What will normally happen is it gets done in stretches. So they'll run up and do a stretch. Well, once it's milled, you can then drive over that milled surface. And then once they mill it all, then they'll come back and start paving. So there may be areas and sections that they cut off for a period of time. Once it's paved and rolled, you can drive over it again. So there's no waiting period.
How long after they get them paved?
Once it's rolled, you can drive
right
on.
Right.
Once it's rolled sufficiently,
they wouldn't let before. Well, actually, what they did
if they're
going to
do it,
yours, they cut it off for what, 2 hours?
Two hours.
Well, it depends on what the contractor is willing to do. But typically, depending on how they want to do it, if they want to get it done in a day, and they mill it and pave it,
and
they get
the
dent.
And that's the reason why I think it took 2 hours for yours is because they did the Humans Avenue first. Then they went over to Taylor Street, and they had blocked off.
So if they didn't roll it, if they didn't roll it sufficiently, then...
No, they did roll it, but what they did is they left it there and moved their entire crew moved to Taylor Street.
We're going to work with the contractor so that, there'll be limited disruption to access to your property. So you should be, you may have a window where you can't get in and out, and you'll just have to plan ahead for that window period of time, knowing that you're going to have to park on one of the side streets for an hour or two. And, again, that's why we want to do it in a single day.
And I can guarantee it won't be on a Sunday.
No.
We're here now. There were multiple questions that we had that I guess would have had to be answered by. Because we're wondering, will we as the church be notified because of where the line ends for the town, mm-hmm. for the borough, and where it begins for
your church parking lot?
Not just the parking lot. There's
all the way
whole
up.
Stoop.
And that'll be paved.
You want to take over the stoop?
No, the stoop is actually in the public right of way. It won't be touched. It'll be paved up to. The stoop will remain. So that area, we're not going to touch the stoop. We're not doing anything other than milling and paving. But as you get past your concrete stoop, there's a wider section of asphalt, which is still part of the roadway, which will be paved. So the roadway is wide, then you hit your stoop, and then it narrows out a little bit. So that will all be paved as part of the project.
And you're not going to pave any part of that
JCP&L? No. Once we get to the private, the project will stop at the private, where the private roadway starts.
Because there's, on the other side where we had the conversation, they were supposed to assist with the runoff, they were supposed to be...
And that was done.
On the far side?
Correct. And...
He doesn't do anything. No offense.
the runoff still happens on our side, closest to where the sign that got covered up by all the greenery. When you come past Mount Pinson parking lot, that water still runs down our parking lot. On the other side of the avenue, there's, or that, whatever it is, there is that lump of blacktop, but on our side we still get runoff into our parking lot. It's all the way on the other side of the avenue.
Right, it's up at the other end.
Mm-hmm. But we still get runoff from our side down into the bottom of the parking lot. That parking lot, every time we get a hard rain, comes down the side, banks left, if you're facing the parking lot, and just cools and covers the lower half of the yard.
It's coming from the JCP&L property.
And we thought when you were going to put the lump, the discussion was it was on the berm. It was discussed it was going to be on this side.
We could add it. I mean, just...
No, that's not what was decided. We decided we would do it up top. Isn't that correct?
Correct.
We did talk about doing one at the lower end, if I forget why we didn't do that.
But Finelli was on, Mike was on site that day. We decided not to do it that way. That's why we put it on top by...
Yeah, because most of the, I mean, most of the water will, the way the JCP&L roadway is, will just run right into the...
Exactly, we were trying to stop it
before it got to
the Power and Light property.
Correct. And so, again, I'd have to look at it and see if it's a local... resident property issue that they're having, you know, just a poor drainage issue.
Could we touch base with Mike Finelli?
Yeah, I'll talk to Mike.
That day when we met out there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately I wasn't there.
No,
so,
you weren't.
But I will talk to Mike and see what, you know, what it is, and next time we get a hard rain, I'll take a ride up there and take a look and see what, you know, see what we can do.
That might be in the next day.
Maybe tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, if we get the rain we're supposed to get, so...
So that's what we were also asking to do again, because we have the speed bump, so in the middle of the avenue, right where the road ends and says it's no longer a public road, right there was where we had
the berm or the speed bump?
We need something to stop the water.
Well, that's unfortunately not the conversation or the decision that was made. That's why I asked Mr. Bloom to go back and speak with the engineer who was on site that day. So we'll check it out. And
what she's asking for is where the borough property ends and the JCP&L property starts, can we put a
berm, which we did.
The condition of the JCP&L access, I'm not even going to give it credit calling it a roadway. I can't imagine too many people with vehicles, because I've driven my car up there. I can't imagine that they go through that stretch at too high a speed.
They drive over the grass.
So it's when they hit the pavement that they start to actually accelerate. And so I don't know from a speed control standpoint, putting something there. Again, from a drainage standpoint, I'll take a look at it. Even if we did something there, based on the way I know that the church property is graded, I don't think you're going to alleviate the problem that they're having. I think they have an additional issue on the property with the way the property is graded. And there's a low point at where that water ponds. So even the water on the property isn't getting off the property, and you get a heavy rainstorm, it's all going to collect there and essentially flood that area of the parking lot. So I don't know if that is going to change what's happening on the property.
What they want to do is prevent the debris that's getting in there, the rocks from the roadway, papers and whatever else, and mud.
Well, we can certainly try to do that. I think what will happen is you'll get runoff up to that point, then the water will get pushed, and debris will continue to get pushed. But we'll look at it. We'll certainly try to...
Yeah, in the next couple of days, put your slicker on and go up and take a look.
Yeah, we'll certainly try to come up with a solution and see if we can figure out something that works.
Thank you, Dawson.
Thank you, everybody.
Okay, that brings us to the minutes of the regular meeting of October 7th.
Make a motion to receive and file the minutes.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on the minutes? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Abstain. Correspondence.
Any motion received and filed.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on the correspondence?
The one correspondence I just want to say is regarding two public hearings that the county is having regarding the proposed sale by public auction of the Warren Haven Nursing Home. Mm-hmm. So if there's any seniors that are interested in attending the public hearings, public hearing number one shall be held on Thursday, November 13th at 7 p.m. at the Warren County Courthouse. And public hearing number two shall be held on Thursday, December 11th, 2014, at 1 p.m. at the Mansfield Township Municipal Building. I will post this on the senior bulletin board downstairs also. And with regards to the second memo, I spoke with Christine briefly about it earlier. My thinking is our town has a business improvement district. I would think that they should be involved, not us having a committee. So I think should we direct the manager to reach out to the bid to be in touch with the county, or what do you think?
Capital idea. I agree.
Yeah, I was along the same lines, just forward it off to the bid.
Yep.
So Christine, can you recommend that perhaps? I mean, I think it's a good thing that they should be involved with the county,
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Do you want a motion for sending that off? Okay. At this point, I'll open up the audience portion of the meeting for remarks, petitions, statement, and testimonies from guests. Just come on up to the podium, give your name and address for the record. Hearing none, I would accept a motion to close the... Okay. You're a little slow today, Ms. Bryant.
Kathy Bryant, 41 Elizabeth Avenue, Washington, New Jersey. And I speak on behalf of members of Mount Piscataway Church, the trustee. I raised this question to you a few weeks ago, and I think Mrs. Coleman had raised it as well, in regards to the condemned property at 149 North Lincoln Avenue. There was a sticker put on that property a few years ago, and I believe you had mentioned to me that you had to look into it to follow up as to the process, as to what's the next step. The property's been condemned. There has been a sticker put on it. The house is still standing, and so you were going to, Christine, find out some information for us.
I did, and it is owned by a homeowner. We have two things that we could do. We, as council knows, we're foreclosing on our municipal lien. There's a large municipal lien on this property. The one option is to foreclose on a lien and sell off the property, or we could condemn the property, which it already has been, and knock down. Leslie, I think I had asked you processes to knock down the property. I don't know if you and I had a follow-up discussion on that.
I don't know that we... No, we didn't have a follow-up discussion on that. Actually, that would probably be more of an onerous process.
Than going through the in-rem foreclosure.
Absolutely.
Why we're doing this process would be... In-rem foreclosures refer to people who haven't paid their taxes for a few years back. The municipality has the right to have a tax sale on people who don't pay their property taxes.
Mm-hmm.
The borough has about $1 million of outstanding property taxes going back to the 80s. This is one of those homes. So we would like to start foreclosing on those homes and selling them off and making some of our money back. We'll never make it all back, but
right.
We'll get some back.
All right. So what you're saying is you're going to follow this in-rim foreclosure for the homes that was back in the 80s. And so you don't, you're just following up on these homes that have been condemned just now?
It's not necessarily condemned, but it's ones that...
But this house is condemned. This is
yeah,
not
this
foreclosure.
One in particular.
This is something totally different. Is this something in a different category?
This house is condemned, and it's also going through the in-rim foreclosure process.
But it was condemned first,
though, right? The
condemnation
process is quite lengthy. I think it's more costly than an in-rim foreclosure. Leslie can speak more to that, and that's probably why the borough, for many years, has not done anything with this home.
Yeah. Right. Once you have an abandoned property, it's very difficult, and there's been recent legislation that's come into place to address situations
mm-hmm.
like that. It's very costly. You're not always going to recoup your money. And municipalities have been very hesitant about going forward with things like that. When you have condemnation, that's a different process. And as Christine said, it's something that can be acted upon by the municipality in a much easier way.
The condemnation process.
Right.
The in-rim foreclosure.
I'm sorry, the in-rim foreclosure process. If you simply have an abandoned property, there are a number of issues that come into play when you're trying to get a municipality to deal with that. And there's actually case law right now, something's going up to the Supreme Court, a case on what exactly does that even mean? And there's issues with respect to taking. Is it a taking? Is it not a taking? So I think the process that Christine is talking about is, in this particular situation, is going to be the best way to address it. Going forward, if council is interested, I can put together a memo regarding the various ways you can address abandoned properties.
Yes.
There are, and I'm not talking about foreclosures because that's something mm-hmm. we're going to be talking about later tonight. I'm talking about abandoned properties. There's recent legislation that's come into effect, and it's been recently amended, and there's certain ways that you can go about attacking those properties and in a beneficial way and in a way that you're not going to be deemed, you know, taking the property. There's certain steps you have to jump through, but it's something that can address, you know, what seems to be an ongoing problem.
But if the homeowner is paying taxes on his property but not tearing it down, how does that differ from, how does that come into play?
If the homeowner is still paying taxes mm-hmm. on the home and mm-hmm. is deemed abandoned,
mm-hmm.
I don't know the answer to that off the top of my head, but I can certainly, that's something that I can address for the next meeting if we're talking about, if there's an interest in me looking into this abandoned property issue.
Can you identify, too, the difference between abandoned and condemned?
Condemned is a determination that the house has been condemned for safety reasons. Or
mm-hmm.
When you've got an abandoned property, that's a property that, for all intents and purposes, been abandoned. It
right.
might be
well, this is not what this property is.
Understood.
This is
right.
No,
condemned,
it is
right.
condemned.
Understood.
Yes. Yes.
An abandoned property could be a property that causes the municipality a problem because you end up having health issues because of
right.
lack of maintenance or something like that. So there's steps that you can take to deal with an abandoned property, but they're different from the steps that you're taking with respect to a condemnation proceeding. So I can go ahead.
I understand. I think there's some confusion here. This house has already been deemed.
No, I understand
death.
That. I kind of got off on a tangent
yeah.
dealing with that one property and then the larger picture houses that are abandoned within the borough. If you want me to do the research to deal with those sorts of issues.
I don't think
well.
The taxes are being paid on that property. So
that's
something totally
different.
It's on our
totally in-rim foreclosure list.
Yes.
It's the first one in the
tax. Right. Mm-hmm. So the taxes aren't being paid on that property, but it has been deemed condemned.
Okay, well, that's the process Christine is talking about yes. then. But if you want me to address the larger issue of abandoned properties in general, there are certain things you can do with respect to that. That's certainly up to you, and it's separate from what we're talking about here.
What the residents of North Lincoln Avenue would like to see, and is to have that condemned building demolished because it's a snide saw on the street,
mm-hmm.
and so these folks are paying taxes. They want to upgrade their neighborhood. Why are they forced to look at a building that's condemned? It's been condemned for the past couple of years, and so when we came the first time to ask you this question, I think the concern is when we presented this information to you, were you going to check in to see who owned it? If I can go online to find out who owns it, if I didn't know the person, I can do that. So what makes it so hard for you all to find this information when I can find this information? That was the initial no response I got back.
Well,
I need a...
Very hard for me to find out who owned the
property. Who owned the property.
But I needed to make sure there was no bank involvement.
No. What was said to us, you needed to find out, you need to make sure who owned the property. And what I'm saying to you is that I can go on a website and find out who owns the property. If I didn't know the person, I could do that, and it gives me all the information. It gives me the block number. It gives me the lot number. It gives me how much money it was sold for. So
if you can't...
It
may not be very accurate if you just get it online. I'm sure Christine would take the proper method to get the actual
record. I have to know if there's a bank-owned issue, if there's a municipal lien on the property, whether or not the DCA did issue a condemnation sticker. There's more than just finding out who owns the property.
Okay.
And if you're requesting that the borough go ahead and take this property over and knock it down, then that's a separate issue than our in-rem foreclosure process.
Okay.
And that is something that this governing body has to give permission for, and Leslie would have to go through the steps.
So when you all go on and put your stickers on condemned properties, you just put it on and...
I don't think the borough condemned. I think
probably county.
Who condemned
Board of Health,
state
county,
of New Jersey,
state of New Jersey.
The property.
But anyway, I think a good step would be now to do a tiny bit more research and find out exactly when it was condemned and what it was condemned for by whom. And that's why
doesn't make any difference.
We'll have a lot of answers at least if we decide.
The first step in getting the building taken care of is doing the in-rem foreclosure.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that allows us to take possession of the property.
And so right now you're starting to look at all your properties in the borough that has been condemned or abandoned and starting to move forward with it.
Not necessarily looking at the buildings that are condemned. It's more the ones that have owed us money for an extended period of time. The building may be in good shape, probably isn't, may have been condemned, may not. I'm just saying that condemnation is not necessarily a part of the process that we're really concerned about. As we're looking at the properties, too, we want to make sure that we don't have an environmental condition that we're going to take on, for the property if it's highly polluted. Now, that would deal more with an industrial site than a home.
Right.
But, that's just one of the other considerations in it, too.
I think the neighbors and residents of London Canal have to deal with what? Rats, maybe?
Because I live on North Lincoln. My name is Deborah Franklin. I'm at 145 North Lincoln. I've been there several times. And also, it's a safety issue. You have a lot of brown hogs, animals, and there's children out there. And if one of them gets bit...
We certainly can have the Board of Health go back and look at that property again.
The diseases that the animals carry.
Mm-hmm.
A safety, it ain't health issue there.
When they condemned this house, at the time, they started to take some pieces of the house away. So why did they stop there?
I don't know who would have done that, ma'am. I'm sorry, predates me. I'd have to do some research.
I mean, how long ago was it that they did that?
About 5 years ago. And we were like, thank God.
It was about a good 4 or 5 years.
They took the side deck away. Because I live right across the street. I'm 150.
Yeah.
And it's, just been like moving frames, all along just to get that house. I mean, I like it because as far as, it's quiet. But as far as, that's a nice story. Brings our values down to our property. Well, one with no curves and have this to deal with,
The in-rem foreclosure is the first step in making this happen and getting it taken care of.
Okay.
So what do you think will save some kind of, taxes on you? Taking the foreclosure and...
Depends on whether or not it's contested or uncontested. I can't give you a solid answer.
How do you determine it?
How do I determine what?
Yeah.
Whether it's contested or uncontested.
Yeah. Notices have to go out to the property owner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at least to their last known address.
Mm-hmm. And or their bankruptcy attorney.
Yeah. And that's when they would have the opportunity.
I mean, I've been there 14 years and that house's been out. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's ever done to it.
When is the when was it condemned as opposed to abandoned?
I would say within 5 years, the last 5 years. But it's been unoccupied. I've been there 14 years.
And I doubt very much it's bank owned. It was a private cell from family member to family member.
It was private.
Yeah.
You determined that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I... That's
okay.
What I'm saying. It's a project.
Doesn't the borough have to be notified of the condemned property if the Board of Health comes in and does that, or whoever it is that condemns it? Since we don't do that?
Well, yeah, there's no question that, you know, that if there's confusion before, the borough did not condemn the home. So it's not an issue of the borough going around and putting the condemnation stickers on the condemned stickers on the home. It's the Board of Health, it's the state that does it. I would think that, I don't know that specific answer, but it seems to me that there should have been a notification that was given to the borough, if it's within the borough, you know, the boundaries of the borough. That is very odd to me. I don't know if there are any regulations that are going to speak to that, however.
Okay. All right. Well,
anything else, Ms. Bryan?
No, that's all I have tonight. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Good evening. We only have one more question, and
if that
is that there is...
Name
I'm sorry.
And address for the record, please.
Name and address. Reverend Bachnight tonight. Mount Pisgah AME Church, 169 North Lincoln Avenue here in Washington. The question is, there is a new part of the petition that is going to be coming forth from the residents of North Lincoln Avenue. And that is, which is interesting, the exit that was just discussed about needing to be paved and from the middle school, that there can be a discussion, question, hope that there would be a no left out of that driveway. Because it's not just the buses that come through and just take whatever. I mean, they swing left, and then they don't even slow down.
I thought there was a sign there, though. When you leave that parking lot, isn't there a sign that you can't make a left turn?
Nope.
We can make a recommendation to the school board, but it's not school board.
And it's not just them.
Yeah,
it's
the road is ours.
The people who come out of there, too, also, they turn left, and they either fly up or they do a hard right onto New Street, and no one slows down.
So this mostly happens at the end of the school day?
In the morning, end of school day.
Oh, after they drop the kids
event
off.
Happening,
yeah.
After the football
game,
the practices, when they had the big cheerleading thing at the end of the summer. And we had people all over that street, and no one cared.
Can you send something to the chief?
That say after school starts after an hour, from the time of, you know, from 6 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock in the morning, no left hand turn from 2 to 4.
We wanted no left hand turn.
Period.
No
left turn all the time.
I would say
period.
No left turn. Mm-hmm.
That's what the request is.
Good, Rich.
That's a bus route. They come out and make left hand turns. Because I called school to complain a couple of times. Because the buses do not stop at all at either stop signs.
Nope.
At North Lincoln or at New Street and Belvoir Avenue. You just zip right out.
Yep.
Okay. And they said that's the bus route. You can't do nothing about it.
We'll mention that to the chief and ask if he can have an officer in that area, you know, provided they don't have anything else, you know, more pressing to take care of. And issue summonses, not warnings.
And I got told by the school, can you catch the bus driver? I said, yeah, I can identify him, and I give you the bus numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we'll break it, and then they'll come down.
Okay.
Maybe we could send a little letter, a note to the bus company, and just let the drivers, you know, get a heads up.
In all honesty, I've had conversation with members of the school board about that.
Mm-hmm.
They say we do this, like, monthly.
Yeah, but it would be different if it comes from the borough as opposed to, you know, the school board. Because they probably get correspondence a lot from the school board. This would be something new and
school board
a little more interesting to them, maybe.
They
have
outside
contractors.
Yeah, school board hires them.
Yeah.
Well, sure.
And
but it still would at least take notice if it comes from us.
Well, what do we have to look into to get the sign, no left turn?
You have to add it to your ordinance that we put on, I put on your desk.
Yes.
So you got it on your desk? We might add that.
Is there a stop sign at the end of the street there coming onto North Lincoln?
Where the parking lot enters?
Yes.
No, it's just straight. It's just, they come straight out. There's nothing on either side. The only sign there is...
Come out of the school parking lot?
Come out of the school parking lot. There's nothing.
There's a stop sign at the school parking lot. There's a stop sign, then they make the left.
They make the left.
They make the right, then they make another left.
Well, right, Rich, is there one at Cherry Lane also? Cherry Street? Is there also a stop sign at Cherry Street exit of the parking lot too, or no? Or just at the one end?
You mean at New Street and Bell Avenue?
No, I'm talking about from the school parking lot to Cherry. At the other end.
Yeah, there's a stop sign.
There is a stop sign, that's it.
Cherry Street, there's one, you're talking about two different streets here.
Well, I know.
You're talking about New Street and the alley, right?
Yeah, I'm talking about the alley.
The alley comes out of Junior High. There's a stop sign there. These kids come out every day and they pound there.
You never know it.
But I know there's one at New Street going on to North Lincoln, but there's still that one right on. So it doesn't really matter if they're...
Right, so we'll ask the chief to be in the area, particularly around the times of school entering and exiting.
And sometimes the teachers that need too, that could flood out of it too.
It's whoever decides to come out of there. It's just, they just do it.
They do it as a shortcut.
Okay.
There was some comment though, I will respond that someone decided to decorate our church sign with the word Satan. And this wonderful pink permanent. And when the officer came out, he did make the comment. He looked around and says, well, there aren't any cameras, but maybe there should be. I mean, we have folks in the neighborhood who do watch. It wasn't there on Saturday. We were in now. Right, but it happened somewhere in between. But we do have folks who do watch, who are paying attention. But I do think that will be our next question of someone being able to, I mean, the police do come through. They came through the next day after that, but then we start looking again, and here we go. Yes, sir?
That whole neighborhood's been complained to the cops numerous times. These kids have tackled garages, cars, windows. They don't care. They're spray painting everything.
Yeah, the
vendor
spray painting.
I'm calling all the time.
No, well, it's serious.
I called many a time. And they said, you called me for this? I said, it's not property. It's being damaged.
Mm-hmm. And they told us every time that something happens, we need to make the report.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And so that's what we've been doing from this point out. So, thank you.
Even then, for Ms. Pally's son.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cross that
one. I know.
Deborah Franklin, 145 North Lincoln Avenue. My question is, I have a lot of kids, sometimes teachers, that cut across my yard. Mm-hmm. And when they have different games on Sunday afternoon, my question is, do I need to have some type of a sign? What can I do to prevent this? Do I need to have a sign in my yard, or what do I do?
If they ignore stop signs, they ignore that sign. I'm sure.
You know,
but,
because I mean, if someone gets hurt, then...
Yeah, it's your property.
It's my property.
Right.
I mean, I've actually had a parent that would drop her daughter off every day.
And run through your yard.
And run through the yard. And see, I wasn't working for a couple of days, and so I'm like, oh, this car's back again. Oh, this car's back again. So then I said, excuse me, this is... private property.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there is an issue. I've had problems with school teachers. Smoke break. Because they can't smoke on the school property.
So
you know,
walk over to your property.
So they run across the yard, you know.
Go out with your fire extinguisher and put them out. And tell them you thought they were on fire. And I bet you they don't come back.
But I mean, for my protection.
I understand.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to make light of it, but
it's... I think you probably put signs up. I don't see...
Private property. I mean, I would definitely do a private property sign. It can't hurt, you know.
Or no trespassing.
You know, trespassing.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to
do that. Beware of dog. I mean, put up a beware of dog sign, too.
Okay, I mean,
I get a tape recording of a real dog.
It's cheaper than a French. You can always put up a French if that's cool.
Yeah. All right, but I just wanted to address that.
Yeah, it's your private property. You can do things like that as you like. I mean, don't put neon up and flashing kind of thing. Well, I'm sure neighbors would complain if there's a flashing, get off my property.
Hey, Scott.
Yes, sir.
If that's an ongoing problem, did you let the cops know about that problem?
No, I haven't.
Maybe you can let them know that you get people trespassing all the time.
Yeah. Doing it then. Because, I mean, especially 4th of July,
but they said tell me about it. I got people parking the alley and come in my backyard and join the party.
Yeah.
And they don't know who they are.
And I've had that at my house, too. I've gone to walk in my door, there's people sitting on my porch watching the fireworks. Excuse me, did I invite you? Hit the road.
I promised I wouldn't do it again.
I'll be getting invited next year.
make a motion to close the audience.
Second.
Okay. Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Okay,
we have no ordinances. Reports.
Make a motion to approve and file reports.
There a second?
Thank you.
Any discussion on any of the reports? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions. No old business? New business? Registration of properties pending foreclosure discussion, sample from Independence.
Okay, this is 15, you want me to just go? Okay, there had been some talk previously, I think probably about 4 months ago now, someone on council had asked about the new law that was coming down with respect to properties that have, can't hear me?
No.
Okay. There have been questions about properties that are in foreclosure that are not being maintained. A new law came down which recently requires the creditors to take care of those properties, and if they don't take care of the properties, the borough is entitled to fine them. Okay, so it's a very powerful tool. You could fine a creditor, a bank, the same way that you could fine a property owner for not maintaining properties. Now, that is allowable. However, you need to enact an ordinance that sets forth the penalties, and you've got to give the creditors notice that the penalties are going to be assessed against them if they don't maintain the property. So that's the first thing. Another thing that the municipalities can do to sort of set a precedent and send out the message to these creditors that, listen, you better be reporting your foreclosed properties and who your agent is for service purposes, is an ordinance that sets forth that reporting requirement. These banks have got to report to the municipality that the properties have been foreclosed on, and that they are the responsible party for the properties, and that if they're out of state, that you have to report who your in-state agent is for purposes of service. You can fine a bank or a creditor or whoever has taken over that property if they fail to report the property to the municipality. So it's really powerful. I believe that the fees, what do I have in the ordinance? The fees that can be assessed, I think, are $1,500 for a failure to report. And on top of that, you can assess a $2,500 penalty per day per violation if you have a nuisance on that property that's not being taken care of. So it's a really powerful tool for municipalities to use. But you can't do that unless you amend your ordinance to include the notice provisions and the penalty provisions. So I went and I looked at the ordinance book, and you currently have in place a $500 penalty for private property owners who fail to maintain their property. You might want to hike that up a bit, up to you, but if you do, if you assess a penalty against the creditor, you might find yourself in a little bit of trouble if there could be arguments raised if your penalty for the creditor is $2,500 and your penalty against the property owner's $500.
I think in the editorial analysis that the New Jersey statute raises across the board the $2,500, I think, and so every single ordinance practically, they recommended, and we said yes, whatever the statute
right.
is.
The statute is it's $2,500 and up to 90 days in jail, which obviously
right.
you're not going to do.
So we're changing all of our ordinances to reflect that.
You are?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, so that was my concern, because when I went back and looked at the ordinance,
yeah.
that seemed to be a little bit of a
right.
disproportionate.
All of them are being changed.
Okay,
and the federal law has provided you can't put a bank in jail. And they won't put
so
a banker in
either.
Yeah.
But I think it's a really powerful tool, and I'm amending the ordinances of a couple of other boroughs and townships, and I think that if it's something you're interested in, it's easy enough to do, and it would go, the most logical place for it to be would be after your, the weed ordinance that you have.
Right,
yeah. Yeah, that would be the logical place for it to go, right after
yeah,
that.
The weeds right. is a separate ordinance, but it's going to be moved on to nuisances.
Right.
Now.
So
okay.
Fall right after that.
So you could put it right after.
It would be in that section, certainly, and I think it would logically come after
mm-hmm.
the weed ordinance. Because
so
that's the issue that you're running into with the maintenance,
mm-hmm.
the maintenance of property
this draft that you gave us, does it include the reporting requirement, or is that a separate ordinance?
it includes the reporting requirement.
Where was that? I didn't see this. The reporting requirement.
It's right on the beginning.
Okay, if you look at subsection D, two subsection D,
mm-hmm.
It talks about the...
The notice shall?
Yep.
Okay, so then where the fine, the violations, the penalties, there's number six, the first part is for that, or the second part
the
for that?
First part of the penalty, so subsection six says
mm-hmm.
any person, firm, or corporation who violates, I don't know what your ordinance number is going
right.
to be, of this chapter... should be subject to a fine not to exceed $2,500. So section number two is the reporting requirement.
Because of the mention reporting, that's where I was confused. I don't see the reporting, the penalty for the reporting. I don't see that.
Okay, I had it backwards. You're $2,500 for a failure to report, okay? So that's, if you look at subsection 2, that's your failure to report.
Okay.
2D is the...
This is the failure to report.
It's the
yeah,
failure
if
to report
it could be
property.
A little more clear that it's the failure
I
to report.
I think it'll
well,
be much more clear
in.
Once the numbers are put in, because
okay.
then you can refer yourself back to those sections.
Well,
okay.
see, this is a sample that you got from Independence, and you said that...
No, I drafted
it. Oh, this is the one you drafted?
For Independence, yeah.
Okay.
But you never know what where they want to put their sections,
that's
so
I
leave the numbers blank. But if you refer back to subsection 2, that's the area that subjects the creditor to the $2,500 penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay? The $1,500 penalty is for the failure, and that's a $1,500 penalty per day per violation, and that's for the ongoing failure to cut the grass or to take care of the weeds or to do whatever it is that
wow.
they're being...
Right.
That they're being noticed
my,
for.
My other question is then, because part of the problem that we've been having, even in the existing system that we have, is how do we find a creditor? And then how will all the creditors out there know that the Borough of Washington now has this ordinance?
What?
That they can start reporting to us. How do they get notified that we have this ordinance?
You can call, if you have a home that's in foreclosure, you can call the courthouse, and there's a unit at the courthouse that will get you in touch with the creditor. It's a lot of red tape, and it's a pain, but it can be done. Now, what I've been doing and what I recommend doing is once you find out who a creditor is for a particular property, there's a stock letter that I've sent to Christine that you can send to the creditor. It says, look, if you have any other properties in the borough, you better tell us where these properties are or you're going to be subject to an additional fine as per our ordinance, and then you enclose a copy of the ordinance with it
right.
and shoot it out. So it's in the beginning it's a lot of legwork, but
right.
I think as
okay.
time goes on it'll become easier. And I assure you that these creditors are going to become aware of this new law because it's
okay.
being kind of
ready.
A lot of our creditors farm out their taxes to tax servicing agencies, and a lot of those agencies won't tell us who the actual creditor is, the bank that holds the mortgage. What can we do with that?
They have to do it now.
Yeah.
They're
going
to
yeah.
have to do it.
They
have
it's
to
required.
Do it. Have
yeah.
to do
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
The
just
tax
just
service, you're
yeah.
saying, the tax servicing agency must. If they have that information, they have to. They have to give
okay.
them that information.
How about,
like I said, have you tried to go through the court system? Because that's a good way to get to get the information.
That's the first time I'm hearing about that.
There's a whole foreclosure section that you can get in touch with, and they can help you out.
Okay, Rudy, you had something you wanted to add?
Couple things, yes. I'm probably on my list of 70, 80 properties right now. I added one more today. I probably have less than 15% of who the mortgager is.
Right, so this is our problem. How do we find out who...
And that's going to be a real headache in the beginning. It's going to be a real headache.
August 19th, I found who the service company was, contacted them about the property, told them the grass had to be cut, the garbage had to be removed from the property, the building had to be secured. I followed up on September 29th.
Is this a property where you know who the creditor is?
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
And the service company. Called the service company back, why haven't you cut the grass? Why haven't you cleaned up the garbage? We no longer service that account, that property. Mm-hmm. I go back to the mortgager.
Mm-hmm.
We sold the mortgage.
Did they tell you they sold the mortgage?
Nope.
Okay, well,
required to.
They have to give you that information. And that's, at that point, you can talk to Christine, and Christine and I will work together to get an order, the letter that I put together that she's seen, to get that out with a violation notice. Have you been issuing violations?
Yeah, but I leave them at the property because I don't know where to send them to.
Okay. That's part of the problem, because they have to have an agent who can accept service, that sort of thing.
This one service company is located in Texas.
Right, and they've got to provide you with an in-state agent who can accept service.
They are the service company, they tell me. And I've also been told by the service companies on another one that they emailed the mortgager, and my request to clean up the property was denied. And I still don't know who the mortgager is.
They can deny it all they want. The law is that they have to do it if there's a violation.
I know.
They'll
be subject to a violation.
Yeah, the answer is it's going to be a lot of
it's an onerous process.
It really is.
Now you have state statutes really to back it up.
Yeah. But with who? That's what I'm getting at.
Who you've been dealing with, you get notify them of the state statutes.
Okay. Next.
If they have any intelligence at all, they'll follow through with it.
Next is you're having a fine up to X number of dollars. Have you considered a minimum, no less than fine? Because prosecutors have a tendency, let's get this case through, reduce the fine, okay?
Yes.
$25 on a number of fines.
Right.
Okay? Because there's no minimum. There is no more than 500 hours and 60 days in jail or community service.
There's always a maximum, in other words, no minimum.
You have to set the maximum in the ordinance. That's up to you whether you want to say it can be no more than,
but under no circumstances
will it be less than.
That's something that's
but
a good idea.
You've got to have that threshold number in there. Because it's
right, you're going to have a match, but you got to have a minimum.
You can
minimum.
Put a no le- not less than in there.
That's a policy decision, and I can certainly work with the draft and do that if that's what you'd like to see happen.
Now, he's written 78 citations?
No, I've got 78 properties.
Okay, 78 properties that you've written citations on. Now, this won't affect the cost of that, of what he's already written, until after that ordinance is adopted, and then it takes forward from that or 40 days forward from then on, right? Okay. So right now this is
wasting my time. Because
I
don't
say
know,
that, Rudy.
90 over 85% of the time, I don't know who the lender is, so I don't know.
They're required by state law.
But now you have a new source with the court here. So
right. How long is that going to take me on these?
But
it's
you said it's an onerous process, so now maybe now we'll get some answers, and you're just going to build on
it's
it.
It's one step in the process more, and it's progress.
It's going to be a headache for a while. I'm not going to lie to you, but I think, one of my techniques that'll work is telling these lenders, like, look, if you've got other properties within the borough, you report them now, or you're going to be subject to additional fines. So hopefully that'll get them. The ball will start rolling as to you know the reporting issue. I can't tell you it's not going to be a pain.
Well, it's a pain right now. Mm-hmm. It's a royal pain because the neighbors are constantly complaining to me about the condition of the properties.
And
The other issue is you're in the beginning of the, you're in the beginning of the process, and you're at the very beginning of the change in law. So I think once the ball starts, you know, when things start getting moving, it's gonna become less of an onerous process, because I think the word's gonna get out there, and there's gonna be all of the municipalities in New Jersey are gonna be starting to take this seriously, and that's when issues get heard. So.
Well, as I was saying, it's a cost issue as well, because all the hours that he spends on the phone trying to contact it, he could be out in the field doing his code enforcement job, which he's supposed to do.
And you can go out and you can use your resources to take care of the properties, and then obviously those costs get assessed to the creditor as well. So that's something you want to consider. There's issues there with collecting, though.
Labor rates. Mm-hmm. Yeah, great idea. Because once we start doing them, then the word will get out, because no bank, no lender wants a labor lien against their property, because eventually they want to sell it.
Well, she just said there's issues collecting on the labor lien.
Yeah, it's not as simple, but certainly if it becomes an issue where it's becoming, you know, a health issue, where there's, you know, you're getting problems on the property because everything's so overgrown and it's an eyesore and everything else, that's something, that's a tool that you have. That you can recoup for.
On the other hand, as far as the condemnation law goes, we can use that to our advantage, even if, I mean, supposing that it's a property that's in good shape, you just don't pay. We might consider condemning that to take, this way, you know, we eliminate that whole situation.
Where's that property?
Well, there is one thing, hypothetically,
there isn't one.
Well,
reality.
So back to the labor liens, we don't have any out now, or like what's involved in?
Well, I'm getting one written up right now for against a property owner. I'm going to meet with Barbara.
There's quite a few labor liens that we've done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And some that we've done this year.
I don't know of any we've done this year. I don't know. Okay. Yeah. You would know,
right.
But I wouldn't. No.
So we are doing them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When that word gets out, I think that's a bigger hammer than anything else.
You've got to prioritize which ones really need it, I guess. Yeah.
That's what we try to do,
yeah.
But we can't take care of all
the things. Right. We don't have the manpower or the money.
Exactly.
Right.
On a weekly basis.
Right.
I don't even know if you do it on a monthly basis.
We've got one property we'd probably spend all 8 hours, from every DPW employee up there to clean it up and to board it up.
Sure. Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, do we want to
I'll make a motion that we introduce this at the next meeting.
And put a minimum?
We should have definitely had a minimum.
Yeah.
I would think 500 to be the minimum. Would that be acceptable?
I would think it's a little higher than that.
Mm-hmm. What would you think, Rob?
750, 850, even $1,000.
So would you have a recommendation?
Whatever you guys deem, I certainly any of those would be acceptable. It's
mm-hmm.
just a matter of what you want to do.
500 sounds good.
I think 500 sounds good.
500 for the start?
Up to 1,500, so let's
go. Well, up to 25, yeah.
25. Okay.
That applies to the single family homeowner too, right? So if they come in and they get a ticket for not mowing their grass, they're going to get a $500 fine, correct?
No, it's not.
No,
this is for this
ordinance. This
is only for this ordinance, yeah.
But if you're going to do it for this one,
you're
going to want to do it for the other one.
We
might
have
to give the creditors a break when you're not giving residents a break.
Right, but we may have different amounts for those particular ordinances. Each ordinance, we can have a minimum of a different amount.
But the other one could have a different minimum, right? No, it's have the same minimum.
I would recommend it having the same. Yeah, you want to do
across
the same
board,
across the board.
Across the board.
So that,
the same
again,
violation.
If a single family homeowner gets a ticket for not mowing his grass, he's going to get whacked with a minimum of $500.
Well, then that's...
And, well, if it's a homeowner that's there, they're going to get a warning first,
yeah,
typically, unless they're a repeat violator.
They usually get warnings.
You get a warning and then the ticket.
Right.
And they have, typically, what do they have, 7 days to?
Negative, they have 10 days by code after written warning is issued.
10 working days, 10 calendar days.
It says 10 calendar
okay.
days.
So most everybody.
So what do you recommend, 250?
Well, listen, that applies then, too, for snow removal from sidewalks.
Right? Be careful with it. You got to be careful with it.
Yeah.
That's
right. I mean, you get an elderly person that can't that can't shovel their sidewalks. And I know that you've given tickets, you know, for that.
Because I don't know who lives there. I just know a property and it's a violation of it. I don't know who.
I understand that.
But there's nothing that says we have to do a minimum across the board. Because, like, I mean, we have these door ordinances and other type ordinances, and they have different fines and minimums.
Yeah, some of them.
You know, so we don't have to do it across the board. That's, yeah.
I understand the attorney's saying that, you're going to go after a creditor at $2,500 or $1,500 a day. When you're saying, well, all right, well, look, if somebody was in that house and not paying the taxes, you're only going to get them for $200.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't say $200, yeah.
But if you do a different minimum across the board, correct?
I agree.
I'm saying don't do it across the board. I'm saying for this particular ordinance, you do a different separate one just for this.
So that's what she's saying to you. She's saying across the board for everything, not
if you just leave it at that, if you don't put a minimum in, it doesn't mean you can't always impose a minimum. Mm-hmm. You know, it gives you wiggle room to do what you want to do.
How do you impose a minimum?
What's that?
How would you impose a minimum?
Well, you're subject to a fine of up to.
But we don't determine the fine; it's the judge determines. The judge is giving 50, he'll make an order.
Right, but you're involved in that process, and the prosecutor's certainly involved in that process. And if you're going to set a minimum, it's going to be a shall be subject to.
Right.
So you better be ready to put that across the board. Is all I'm saying.
But not for every single ordinance.
Of the fines are assessed by the prosecutor.
Yes.
Now, say, the prosecutor recommends to the judge what the fine would be. Rarely, unless there's a trial, then the judge usually goes close, if not to the maximum. Okay? But the prosecutor is the one who sets the fine.
Mm-hmm.
In negotiations for the guilty plea.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, how about if we just have the ordinance prepared, we'll have a line in there for a minimum,
later,
which we don't have to keep in. We can cross out when we introduce.
Okay.
You know, that has time to think about it.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
If you can maybe see if there's other ordinances, what minimum they have.
I haven't seen any with the minimum on these particular ones.
Then we can check what our minimums are.
That's what I mean, on these.
Regular nuisance.
Generally fits in right after your noxious weeds type ordinance, but I haven't seen any of them set a minimum.
As far as this registration for abandoned properties, I did look online and there are at least 7 other municipalities in the state now that introduce.
Mm-hmm.
And we have similar ones we should all take a look at, and this way we can see if there's some different, you know, something different.
Okay, you have to be careful because some of them include abandoned property with their...
Mm-hmm.
With this ordinance, you saw that, right?
Yeah.
And some of them are just separate foreclosure.
Mm-hmm.
So don't confuse your foreclosure with your abandoned property.
No. Two separate things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have a motion.
I made a motion.
To have it prepared with a line for a minimum that we can think about. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, is there any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Okay, approval of the Junior Streets Cheerleading Special ABC License. All paperwork is in order.
Yeah, Junior Streets and an ABC license.
So moved.
Is that contributing?
Yeah. Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We have an employee policy in front of us. We could have it moved and adopted tonight.
As long as everybody's okay with it, yeah.
This is recommended by who?
This is something that Janine and I kind of worked on and got input from the lawyer on.
Okay.
But it was discussed at past council meetings,
mm-hmm.
and
I
then
just
it was recommended we had
yeah.
a subcommittee,
okay.
and so the subcommittee
mm-hmm.
worked on it. And Leslie sent an email to everyone also
right.
explaining it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I'll make the motion.
To adopt.
Okay.
Any discussion on it?
I'm assuming these are all situations that are not acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Not necessarily not acceptable, but require notice.
Requires notice, it doesn't make dating, it doesn't make a situation like that.
Not prohibiting it.
Prohibited, it's just a reportable incident, or it's a reportable item, and just for, so that the borough...
So if one employee's dating another employee or something like that, they gotta notify somebody?
Yeah, supervisory.
Yeah, a supervisory. And then the supervisor cannot take any type of personnel action, whether that be a positive or a negative action against them, that would go to the next higher authority.
Gets found out to someone else, as simple as that.
Okay.
So it's really an ethical type of thing addressing that.
And it's very standard and run-of-the-mill, so...
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Now, how does that go with employee policies? Because I love the idea and the best practices that you're gonna hopefully work on of an employee policy. But in the meantime, since you don't have that, what do you do? Send this out to everyone?
It goes out to everyone.
It goes out to everyone.
That brings us to resolution 138-2014, for system modifications with Veolia.
What's the difference between what was on a desk and what was in the packet?
What was on your desk contained the final estimate from the contractor, from Veolia.
Okay.
And that all falls within what we were budgeting.
That's correct.
Okay.
The final payout on this, that's made costs, were somewhat different than what we were given back in September.
Yes.
Significantly.
We had one contract.
We had one contractor who came in at 159.
So, I mean, it's like a $70,000 difference.
Yes.
That is correct.
Do we have enough money to cover the additional?
Yes.
Yeah, it's all within budget.
I make a motion that we approve resolution 138.
Okay. Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Again?
Yes.
Conrad?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Jones?
Must be the last, huh? Okay.
Yes.
Request for professional services proposals.
I didn't have any other, but if at the next meeting we could have the executive session for the professional evaluation.
Sure.
Let's see.
So right now there's only the one that we previously discussed.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that's all. Did anybody want to go out for anything else?
Can we do a boards professionals as well? Or
no, the boards take care of that.
Okay.
Right. Resolution 136-2014 for the foreclosure of eligible tax sale certificates.
So moved.
Second. Okay, we're really anxious on this one. Any discussion on this? Let's do a roll call on this one, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Conrad?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Jones?
Yes.
Kleba?
Yes.
Okay, 137-2014, amending the cash management plan so that Unity Bank will be added to our list of official depositories.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that one? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Best Practices Checklist 2014. Is this just a discussion item?
Well, no, you have to approve it for the state of New Jersey.
Okay.
Natasha and I have already answered questions. We have signed it, certified it, sent it to the state, and now we have to bring it to you for approval.
And was that 88% we got, was it, I saw?
I believe it was
84?
88.
You
I'll
got an 88%
it.
Score.
Mm-hmm.
Is that better than the previous year?
I'm sorry, Rob, I can't remember.
Okay.
It's either equal or we have an 86 last year.
Okay.
Because we weren't in the 90s, that I can tell you.
But it's certainly a high enough score to get us all our state aid.
Yeah, it was either equal or slightly higher.
Do you guys know next meeting?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any of, well, I guess we need the motion to approve it.
That was discussed, okay. I'll second.
Okay, discussion.
I spoke with Christine earlier, so if you could just get me the one thing that I asked, but also number 12, is that something else for next year that you might be able to consider? That Natasha did?
What is number 12?
It's the internal accounting, does the manager or CFO evaluate and discuss the risk assessment annually with the governing body or appropriate subcommittee?
Oh, absolutely.
I said, seems bad, but. And then if I could just get the five-year plan and the.
Right, I do speak to Natasha about that.
That's good, thank you.
Any other discussion? You can do this voice thing, right? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Vouchers.
Make a motion, we pay the bills.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on any of the bills?
I have a question. Under Public Works, masonry and jackhammer, is that for the park pool?
Does it say buildings and grounds? I'm sorry, Rich, what page?
Page 5.
I think it is, Rich.
What's that?
I think it is.
Okay. Is that, is that money that the recreation got?
No.
Yeah, that was from the contractor.
That's the replacement of the sidewalk and the pad area where the picnic table was at the park that we had to tear out when the.
On page 10, you got the same thing again, but underneath, one's under recreation, one's on public work.
I paid a portion, they paid another portion.
Ah, I have the same question.
Yeah.
Why was it under public work?
That's why.
Recreation pony up some money.
Yeah, okay. Okay, I was just curious.
Okay, anything else?
And I, yeah, I do. Why are the Township of Washington those property taxes under public works? Same page. Page 5.
Is it buildings and grounds? That's where we pay the property taxes out of.
Public works, streets and roads. Page 5.
I see that.
It's just above buildings and grounds.
But it's coming out of public works, streets and roads budget.
What was it again?
The fourth quarter property taxes for those two blocks that we have in the township.
No, the bottom, it's buildings and grounds. You see it at the.
Oh, yes.
03-101-0, on the right-hand side.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole section, and that's the bottom, gives you the total for buildings and grounds.
Okay. Gotcha.
I have one other one, Scott.
Sure.
Page 11. Holiday Chase Lounge.
Recreation.
Yeah, that was under trust.
Holiday Chase Lounge, what is that?
The chairs for the pool. For the pool? The lounge chairs?
Okay, I just.
Didn't they buy those last year, though?
$1,000 for them, huh?
I think they bought more than one.
They can do what they want.
Right, yeah, $65.
Because I don't have a lounge chair that costs that much.
$865, and then $152.
Yeah, what's more alarming to me is $152 for freight and shipping, because that's expensive.
Yeah, I'm sure that's for more than one.
They spend their own money, so.
That is for more than one. As a matter of fact, I spoke to Victor the other night, and that was like at 50%.
Say, are you in, like?
Pardon me?
What do you mean, 50% what?
The price of those.
The price of.
Yeah, they bought them on sale.
Got a good sale.
Yeah, at the end of the season.
Okay.
Okay.
Just, you have $52.
Anything else? Roll call, please.
Conry?
Yep.
Cleva?
Yep.
John?
Yes, it says abstain for DPW clothing allowance.
I
Torres?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes, there's a set fire company registry.
What did we give you to do this week? Anything?
I will review the minutes from 2009-2010 to see if I can confirm any kind of agreement with the school.
Are you going to contact the former manager too?
I did contact him, but I'll do it again. I think I have an email, but I'll reach out to him tomorrow. I will discuss with Finelli Engineering the issue of the berm on the Palomar property. Really, it's our property. Is that New Street or State Street when you put the berm?
It's not New Street.
It's like a top. State?
What's that?
Rush.
Rush,
isn't
that's
Rush?
It.
Yes, yeah, State.
It's
from
Yeah.
As far as the Warren County Economic Development Advisory Council correspondence to the bid, I'll reach out to the Chief of Police to discuss school buses and people leaving the middle school not stopping at stop signs in the area. We'll put the foreclosure property, registration of properties pending foreclosure ordinance on for the next meeting for introduction. We'll have the review of the professionals on for the next meeting. And I will provide last year's best practices board to council. So I have Mayor.
Council remarks. Mrs. Gleba.
Okay. Let's see. Just a reminder to review the street ordinance that was left on your desk, because it will be also introduced at the next council meeting. The bid will be having the annual business trick-or-treat with Sandy with you. I think it's on October 31st. And wish everyone a safe Halloween. If you could email everyone, Christine, the professional evaluation forms in case they can't dig it out from last year. And lastly, we're going to be working with Home Instead Care, the Senior Advisory Committee, in any way that we can with their Be a Santa to a Senior program. It's been their 11th year, and I just want, if anyone knows of any deserving senior who might benefit from the program or are struggling to pay for the basic necessities, or an isolated senior who will be alone during the holiday season, they can contact Lucy Hurley at Home Instead. The number is 908-399-9604. They're going to be sending me a flyer. I'm going to have it on the senior bulletin board, and you can reach out to any of us as well if you know of a senior. And then eventually, you're probably familiar with it, tags or ornaments will go in different either schools or churches, and then people will pick the item that the senior wants or needs, and you don't know who the senior is, and then all the gifts get returned to Home Instead, and then there's lots of wrapping that's involved, and then the gifts are distributed for Christmas. And I believe last year in the borough, the fire department delivered the gifts to the seniors in the borough, so I think they might do that again this year. But anyway, it's our first year being involved with the program, so if we have names here, I'll let you know. And that's it. Thank you.
Mr. Torres?
I have nothing to say.
Ms. Comrie?
I have nothing.
Mr. Thompson?
Nothing. Just have a safe Halloween and see you next month.
Mr. Jones?
I'm fine.
Mr. Higgins?
Of course.
Uh-huh. So I saved you for last.
Thank you. Real quick, I was contacted by a resident, one of your neighbors, as a matter of fact, in reference to the bus parking on North Prospect Street.
Mm-hmm.
Idling, parking, causing an issue there between
North Prospect. Right at the apartment complex, I guess.
Yes, absolutely. Is there any way that we can look at putting up no parking signs? There are no parking signs there, are
no,
there?
No, not there.
Not there.
On the other side.
On the other side.
On the other side.
In fact, that was one of the things for the street ordinance, because I'd ask you to look into putting some parking along the middle school field there.
Right.
And I didn't see that in the ordinance that's on our desk.
When we do that ordinance, there's a couple other locations where
no
signs
parking,
need
no
to be
parking.
Discussed. In,
you mean no parking?
It's no parking from Carlton Avenue up to the entrance of the apartment.
Like that.
complex, and some of the residents wanted some parking there. You know, like maybe from where the emergency entrance is on the field up to the apartment complex.
Right.
Yeah, something like that.
The apartment complex is too,
Yeah, within whatever the distance is from the entrance that it has to be.
You know, you get two cars in there.
That's really kind of all they need, two or three cars.
Because I know the bus company gets the Del Valle school district that parks there all day long.
Yeah. I haven't seen them idling, but I have seen them park there.
I see them there too.
But they're parked legally, at least every time that I've seen them.
Well, if there's a street like that that you want to add then before, you know, when we introduce it, that's the time to do these, all of these streets.
Keep in mind that some buses, your bigger buses are too big.
Well, no, we might have to add that street to the ordinance.
They do not.
My point, that's fine.
Comply with that ordinance.
Oh, that street's not on.
You're talking about commercial vehicles?
That's correct.
But they would be too big to park there anyway.
They are.
So that's an enforcement issue.
We're already taking care of it. I'm aware of it too.
No, you are.
I am.
Okay. Do we need to send a school a letter to?
It's not.
I don't think it's our school.
It's Del Valle School District bus.
What's it do? Oh, you mean.
They probably live here.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So they're just parking there.
Ah.
In the center drive.
Yeah, okay. We're taking care of it.
Yes.
Okay. I said I talked to Victor the other night. Then this goes back to the park pool. He had told me that Veolia has agreed to supply all the water pipe for one particular area that they're doing. They're doing the splash pad and all that other stuff, and they can get this in. And they would do all of that stuff for free. They would come down and they would donate the pipe.
Right.
They would hook it up.
Right.
But here's what they need. They need us to trench it and backfill. And that would take probably about 2 days,
Janina,
you said, right?
We told Janine about that in the summertime.
Right.
And she said, and if she...
When they get done, when they get to that point right now.
Right.
So he said it would take probably 1 day for the DPW down there with a backhoe to trench it, and then 1 day...
Are they ready?
I don't know, but I don't know if we need to give approval for that. Do we need to give approval for that?
Nope.
That would really
Janine,
be the manager.
Janine, we spoke about this
15,
on the 15, yeah, 15, I'm sorry.
Administration.
We spoke about this one before in a meeting.
We
and
did. And decided it was a day-to-day operational.
And we were
going to
wait. And we were going to wait until they were ready.
They were ready. Correct.
Yeah.
We did.
Did they discuss it at their last meeting? Yet?
Right. They did discuss it, but they wasn't ready. They're not ready yet.
They're
going to notify you when.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
Well,
at least give some
heads
up.
Listen, you know, with the conversation, and I don't know what was taking place at your meeting, but what Victor wanted was to say, okay, because they need to order the pipe, they need to schedule it, and he just needs to know if they can do it. You know what I mean? So
DPW can do it.
Yeah.
So you want us to make a motion, or is that the manager? That sounds like the manager.
We just need Christine to get in contact with Vic and
that's
set
like
the date.
That's like day-to-day operations.
Yeah. Right.
He was supposed to contact Christine. At the last meeting I was with them, he said he was going to contact Christine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know how I feel about water pipes in the park.
Yeah, it should all be replaced.
And
this is the first part of it.
You're absolutely right. And if they're going to do it, they're going to donate it.
That's
great. They're going to do the work, hook everything up.
Yep.
Now, it's got to be backfilled. The pipe has to be laid on some type of...
Bedrock.
Not bedrock.
No.
I think it's with pea gravel. And then clean fill on top.
Now, is the Olga going to supply all that?
I don't know if they're going to supply that, but...
yeah, that was my next question. Are they...
I don't know if they're going to supply that, and that might be something you need to check on, but they're going to do the pipes in the hookup.
How big is that length that they're doing? Anyone, do you know?
They're going to do the whole
back.
It's going outside the fence, coming back inside the fence. It's a lot.
100 feet?
I have no idea, but it's a lot. He explained to me that it's going out, around, back in.
Because they have so many noise, they give us an estimate, man.
Yeah, better make sure everybody knows what they're supposed to be supplying.
I know.
Okay.
Why do you have an estimate when
you're
going to do a plate?
Let's see, am I done? Yes, I'm done. And everybody should remember that Wednesday.
They put in, yeah, it's free.
Right, Wednesday is the next meeting, November 5th, after all tonight.
First can't make it.
Got you.
Well, I have nothing, then I would accept a motion to go into executive session on Resolution 135-2014 for negotiations and collective bargaining agreements.
Don't move, just a
10-minute break.